And the websites are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net. There were so many things that Kennedy was against. I mean, he was against so many, and he was trying to dismantle the CIA. He was going after so many people. There were a lot of people who wanted him out of the way.
Yes, he also, the chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, Limnitz, he made resign also. He didn't re-up his tenure. He
let right, with Northwood's document.
Right. March 11th, 62, Northwood's document, which is
right.
unbelievable. You know, it's just, matter of fact, after the Bay of Pigs, you know, he put in and he put in a NASAM, I forget what number it is, that said the CIA, he defanged the CIA and let the military take such operations over. And then he defanged the military by letting Limnitz go, and he went to NATO, and he was also most likely behind or had a lot to do with the Gaulle assassination attempts, which is another whole, and other assassination attempts. So this guy, so he didn't like him. The CIA, you know, he gave them, he went to the CIA and gave them some medals, and the next day he asked them to all resign. This was in, I think, November of 61. So, and this is Dulles, Richard Helms, and General Cabal, the three top people in the CIA. Oh yeah, he was there. You know, United States Steel, another thing that happened. It's the same day, by the way, that the Cuban Missile Crisis happened, started the 13 days in October. That he had a showdown with United States Steel, which I have a whole one page about that I sort of gleaned and wrote about this. That he had a deal with the unions, which was not very good for the unions, because the head of the union was saying, this is not a great deal, but we'll do it because, and the deal on the other side was United States Steel had like 25% of all the steel, and the defense, it's a major defense player. And they had a thing that you're not going to raise prices because Kennedy didn't want inflation. So you had both sides had to give in on this, and they did. And then the CEO of United States Steel stabbed Kennedy in the back. And he says, we're going to raise the price of $6 per ton on the steel. And all of these other smaller steel companies went along with it. Well, Kennedy, you see him in the next day's news conference, and he's pissed off. And he's still diplomatic and everything, but he's pissed off. And he lets the world know what happened. And behind the scenes, he asked, I think it was Dean Rusk, to go and tell United States Steel that big submarine contract, you don't have it. Sorry. So you want to play hardball, boys? Let's go. And right away, United States Steel backed down and capitulated and fell through and said they didn't raise the price, da-da-da. But when I sent this out to a few people, and John Kaminsky back to me, goes, that was the last time any president ever did something like that, huh? And it was like, and then I spoke to my cousin, my older cousin, and I told him the story, and he goes, I was on Wall Street that day. I was in the pits on Wall Street. And he goes, yeah, and it was like all the rumblings that went around that day because of what Kennedy did was like, you know, how dare he do that kind of thing, stand up to this. But he was being fair to both sides. But enemies, what he was trying to do was bring peace to the world. And the nuclear proliferation especially. I mean, like I said many times, for everybody, the 27 minutes and 5 seconds, the speech that he gave at the American University on June 10th, 1963, that was it. And by the way, just jumping back at the same time, the last letter to Ben-Gurion was June 15th, 1963, and Ben-Gurion resigned the next day. I think he resigned for plausible deniability. I think he put the hit on them that day, June 16th, 1963, and it was implemented 5 months later. I think that's why he resigned, for plausible deniability of this, what happened. So, and that, you know, now jump back to Oswald. And you have Oswald was given a paraffin test at 2:50 p.m. on November Central Standard Time on November 22nd. And the Dallas police take a paraffin test of Oswald's hands and cheek, right cheek. And the test is positive for his hands, but negative for his face. So, and then it goes on, not only was the Warren Commission unable to determine that Oswald committed the crime alone, but two important pieces of evidence showed that he had almost certainly not played any part in the shooting. The poor physical condition of the rifle and the absence of gunpowder residue on Oswald's cheeks. The condition of the six-floor rifle, the experts from the U.S. Army and FBI who tested the rifle discovered that it was actually not usable in its original state. Shims had to be applied, three of them, to the telescopic sight before the rifle could be used. Even after the telescopic sight had been repaired, it proved unreliable and inaccurate. Number three, the condition of both the bolt and the trigger pull meant that the rifle could not be aimed accurately. So, by the way, the paraffin on his hands could have been from the .38 revolver that he took, by the way, that had a jammed pin in it that couldn't fire when it was somehow caught in the Dallas theater. War is hell. I like the outside of the marquee, huh? War is hell that day. And how they caught him so quickly and all that. And did he shoot Tippett? No, he didn't shoot Tippett. And then it goes back to, Dorothy Kilgallen. Dorothy Kilgallen put that out. She got that black woman, what's her name? I can't get it off the top of my head. But she was the person that broke that story about the Tippett shooting. And there's so much about the Tippett shooting. But she came out and said, she interviewed this black woman, said, oh, no, it was two guys there, and neither one resembled Oswald at all. And Dorothy Kilgallen to her, bless her. And you just have her doing and what happened to her, like I said, with Mary Pinchot Meyer also, which was even more so. You have all these people. But back to Oswald again. You have Oswald saying that you have these paraffin, because he handled either the gun, his .38 gun, or even the boxes. The boxes can leave that kind of residue on your hands. And they lied about this, by the way. They said, the paraffin test came back positive. This was the story that they put out. And as you well know, and we all well know, the first story that goes out is the one you remember as true.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And they knew this back in 63, these people. It was... So you have the amount of innocence. You have also not only all of these different people, including Judith Vary Baker, have come out and said Oswald was in the Alton's 6 photograph in the doorway, and there's been all computer enhancements of this, and it very, very, very much looks like he was. Because how did he get down from the 6th floor down to the 2nd floor in the lunchroom having a Coke when the first cop came in within like less than 90 seconds and saw him there? And there's a book out called The Girl on the Stairs. There was, because, by the way, at the same time, the telephone system went down and the elevators went down in the Dallas School Book Depository. All right? Right. Exactly right before the assassination happened. And I have this in this timeline also. So how did Oswald get down from the 6th floor, put the gun down, and hide the gun? But all three, the three cartridges of the bolts all lined up perfectly straight. And run down the 6th floor, the stairs, and these two other girls on the stairs, huh? They never heard or saw anybody on the stairs.
Right.
And so, every which way you look, that and they blamed, the assassination of Tippett, Officer Tippett, on Oswald, where there's no way he could be there. I mean, you have him supposedly leaving the Dallas Book Depository and going and catching a bus, but another hero, Roger Craig, police officer Roger Craig, who they tried to kill four times before they finally got him in 75. And he kept on to his story, this man. And just like Jim Garrison, there's many, many, many heroes that just were unbelievable. One of them was Roger Craig, the police officer. I think it was Dallas Police Officer of the Year in 61 or something. This guy was exemplary in his duties. And as was Garrison, a real American hero. You see... Craig said, oh no, he left in a Dodge Rambler, Dodge Nash, or Rambler Nash, whatever it's called. And he stuck to that story forever.
Nash Rambler.
Right, thank you. it's and so even the story about him taking the bus and then a cab and dropping it off, and then when he was in his boarding house, There's two honks on a car horn, and the boarding lady looks outside, and it's a police car. And so all of these, and he supposedly then walked and left and you know, shot Tippett and then went to the theater, and they got him in the theater. It's just, and then it even goes back to the rifle itself, which could never even be, and the manufacturing of the photographs of the rifle. With him with the rifle on it that was put on, you know, Life magazine, the front cover.
All right. Yes.
Just
as you say, they own the media, you know.
Yeah, the total unequivocal framing of this man who was there to infiltrate. I mean, it goes back to, you know, how Garrison stumbled upon it, you know, August 9th, 1963. Oswald was there with the Fair Play for Cuba committee, handing out leaflets in New Orleans for Guy Bannister, who's the head of the FBI in Chicago, and then a CIA guy, and with David Ferry, you know, they got Ferry, and Ferry somehow commits suicide, or has a brain hemorrhage or something, and he leaves two suicide notes, and all the suicides that go along with it, and not only during 63, but also before the House committee in mid-70s, the spike of suicides is off the charts. In it, you have and them lying every which way about everything. It's just it's like, and they get away with it, which is why we're here talking about this. And bless you once again, Deanna and RBN, for having me on to try to go into all the amount of details. You hear me talking fast and jumping from this thing to that thing. The amount of information. And the details and the cover-up and the false information put out, and early false information put out, like I said, that, you know, Curry said the head of the police, and never took notes. All the notes are destroyed about Oswald. I'm just a patsy. You know, and then the Friday night when they take him in front of the press, Oswald, this is late Friday night.
And
they had him saying, I think it was with the district attorney, Wade was there too. And Wade, I said this before, which I find humorous. Wade makes a mistake when he says, well, it was something about the Fair Play for a committee. And some guy in the background goes, no, that's the Fair Play for Cuba committee. And you see the camera pan back, and who is it? It's Jacob Leonard Rubenstein telling the DA what Oswald was doing in New Orleans in August.
Right.
It's like, well, it's just, and by the way, the same day, August 9th, 1963, is when Jackie gave birth to her last child, Patrick, who died 2 days later.
Right. She lost a couple of children. I mean, it was pretty sad.
Yes, and she has two of them are interned with her and John. In Arlington. By the way, he was reinterned in March 14th, 67, huh? In the middle of the night. They dug up his grave and his little baby girl, who really never had a name, but she put a name, Arabella.
Arabella, on it, yeah, right? That's cute.
And Patrick, and they reinterned them because of they wanted to get a supply line of gas in there, and foot traffic was too much or whatever. But I have photographs and I put that into this timeline also. It's and you see Bobby Kennedy and Edward Kennedy there, and it's just, you know, and you have, it's just, it's like people, I have something written about this. It's about, you know, it's not just John Kennedy's assassination, but you have Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, John Lennon. Where did these people, what was the common denominator in all of these people?
Yeah.
They all wanted peace. They were all putting forth peace for the world, whether they started that way or not. Matter of fact, they all didn't start that way. And they all went that way. And when they went that way, somehow every one of them was filled with lead. And so what is the likelihood of these five major people being assassinated in 17 years, three of them during total lame duck presidencies, meaning Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and John Lennon were shot during total lame duck presidencies. So you have which is a total power vacuum that lets this happen, which is what I stumbled upon. This is my theory, which is not a theory because it's, you just take a look at the days, but sure. It makes me mad as hell, and it makes me almost want to break down and cry.
Sure.
That here was a man, and you know, I state right up in somewhere in this document that I owe my life to this man. And I was during the Cuban Missile Crisis in October of 62, I was a four-year-old boy living in Elmhurst, Queens, New York City. And how he used detente to defuse the Cuban Missile Crisis. And matter of fact, we were shooting off rockets from the West Coast toward over the Pacific to try to instigate Soviet Union to first. Just like with Pearl Harbor, just like with all of these false flags, let them shoot first. Well, yeah. And when I stumbled upon this, which was just recently, I was like, my God, well, the playbook is good, huh? It works. But yet the Russians didn't fall for it. And when I, you know, what happened with the Cuban Missile Crisis, I would have been annihilated. I lived in New York City, four-year-old boy. There would have been, and by the way, we had I have a document in here, I forget what the day it was. I think it was March of 62, if I recollect correctly. Of document that came out and said how much more firepower we have in ICBM technology, especially, which is very hard to understand because they were ahead of us in rocketry. Yuri Gagarin, first guy in space, beat us, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And so their rockets were better than us. So how did their ICBMs not better? Intercontinental ballistic missiles. But supposedly we had an unbelievable edge in that respect. And Kennedy knew this with this document, this meeting that happened. But back to the Cuban Missile Crisis, you had them shooting off these rockets trying to get Soviet Union to shoot first.
Right.
And Kennedy knows this. He found this out. And he knows that everybody around him is a madman, you know, Operation Northwoods. Thank you very much. They're all nuts. And Khrushchev's people were the same.
Right.
And you have him asking Bobby Kennedy, I forget what night it was. It was on the 19th, October 19th, I think, going to the Russian embassy in Washington and speaking to the ambassador and saying, I don't know, my this is straight from my brother. He doesn't know how long he can hold these people off. And you see what they're doing, and he goes, please tell Premier Khrushchev to help us because these people, it looks like a coup is coming.
Sure.
And you see what they're doing. And Khrushchev came, and this was relayed to Khrushchev, and Khrushchev blurted out, we need to help our friends. And that was what broke it, these 13 days in October, that we came to the brink of annihilation of the world or we're very close to the annihilation of a nuclear winter of the world just because these people had much more respect for each other, meaning Kennedy and Khrushchev.
Sure, sure. All righty, we're going to a three-minute break. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck. Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsas, and the websites of interest are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net.
I'd like to go back to something. Piper also lays out in detail how the assassination of Kennedy and the presidency of Johnson brought about a 180-degree change in the United States policy toward Israel. And I have a whole section on this called The Jewish Lobby. According to Stephen Green, in his book Taking Sides, America's Secret Relations with a Militant Israel, 1984, as early as March 5, 1964, Nasser, who was the second president of UAR, Egypt, told Assistant U.S. Secretary of State Philip Talbot that the, in quote, the United States had shifted its policy into a more active support of Israel, close quote. NASA's assessment is supported by intelligence historian Richard Dean in his book, The Israeli Secret Service, 1978. Deakin claims that Johnson's new policy was keeping in line not only with Israel's demands, but those of Israel's friends in the CIA. President Johnson, in quote, had already swung away from the tentative pro-Arab stance of the Kennedy administration, which had always been frowned upon by the CIA, close quote. Deakin further claimed that Walt Rostow, this is the other guy's brother, huh? The guy who I said was having a party, who was putting forth the Yale dean of the law school, this is his brother. Deakin further claimed that Walt Rostow, LBJ's national security advisor, believed that the U.S. policy toward Israel would serve as an effective check on Soviet support for Arab countries. Thus, according to Deakin, in quote, Rostow reflected almost totally the views of the CIA hierarchy. So you, this is who's at the party, huh? When he's his brother, these Zionist beeps. Okay, let me go further. I asked the question, did LBJ dramatically increase aid to Israel? Former Undersecretary of State George Beall commented that, in quotes, the Israelis were proved right in their assumption of Johnson would be more friendly than Kennedy, close quote. Sure. According to author Green, citing U.S. Agency for International Development Aid, in quotes, over the next few years, the first 3 years of the Johnson administration, the level of foreign aid support for Israel would change both quantitatively and qualitatively. U.S. government assistance to Israel in fiscal year 64, the last budget that was Kennedy, stood at $40 million. In fiscal year 65, this rose to $71 million. In fiscal year 66, $130 million. More significant, however, was the change in the composition of that assistance. In JF Kennedy's final thing, 64, virtually none of the official assistance was military assistance. It was split almost equally between development loans and food aid. However, in LBJ's first 1965, 20% of the aid was military nature, and in 66, 71% of all official assistance to Israel came from the form of credits for purchasing military equipment, which was not defensive. Was offensive. Moreover, the nature of the weapons we provide has changed. In 63, the Kennedy administration had to sell 5 batteries of Hawk missiles valued at $21 million. This, however, was an air defense system. The Johnson administration in 65-66 provided Israel with 250 modern M48 tanks, 48 A1 Skyhawk attack aircraft, communications electronics equipment, artillery, and all this other. So you have what I'm trying to get here is unbelievable sea change escalation in the amount of money Israel's getting, and more so, it's almost all military. So you have, it's a complete sea change, and I've seen this. As you had last week on, what happens in during the Six-Day War on June 8, 1967? Right. You have the USS Liberty. This false flag that they swore, it wasn't them, meaning Israel, until they finally conceded, it was us, it was a mistake, you know. It was a mistake that happened, 2 hours worth of mistakes? With Mirage, French Mirage, unmarked jets coming out of the sky, and then torpedo gunboats, and helicopter gunships, machine gunning life rafts and everything. And Ruskin and LBJ taking back the help for the Liberty, the fighter jets that were going to help save the day. I mean, it's just, and you know, so people think, oh, Israel couldn't do this. Well, just take a look at the Levant affair of 1954.
It's just, exactly, yes. All righty, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting 2 people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Nutramedical's New True Silver is a new angstrom silver wrapped in hydrogen and with a liposomal enzymatic envelope to deliver to target tissues. It will kill all viruses, bacteria, parasites, and pathogens. It goes through the biofilm with an amazing new technology developed by Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com. You can get this amazing new nutraceutical, which is non-toxic for the eye, respiratory tract, or nose, or skin, at NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, or our order line, 888-212-8871. This new technology releases the silver ion to stimulate not only killing pathogens, but stimulates tissue regeneration and stem cell activation. It is thousands of times stronger than any colloidal or ionic silver complex, and with its enzymatic liposomal envelope, delivers it to the target tissues with very small dosages.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsis. And let's pick it up from where you left off.
I was I was blaming it on the Brotherhood. That's who did it in 1954. It's these false flag incidents are the, you know, it's not just the Levant affair or USS Liberty or 9/11 that Israel was behind, but there's many others. And by the way, Piper goes into this also in all these different other instances by setting up Gaddafi with the bombing in the discotheque in Germany, and then we went to hit him. That's why France didn't let our F-111s taking off from England fly over their airspace. But that's a whole other thing. It's, you know, I'd like to touch upon which I've talked about before, but it's worth repeating of these few next things. There's an article called "A Mauser is a Mauser is a Mannlicher Carcano," and I just love the title because the Mauser 7.65 is a very good weapon, rifle. It was found at 1:22 p.m. in the sixth floor book depository. It was ID'd. It was said for more than 24 hours by all of the media that was the gun, and then it wasn't the gun. And it's even more than that, and I'll read from it. The Assassinations Record Review Board, AARB, in 1995 uncovered the FBI field office in Dallas an envelope. It was dated December 2nd, 1963, and detailed the contents, since missing, of a 7.65-millimeter shell found in Dealey Plaza after the assassination. This recovered evidence was unknown until the AARP uncovered it. Unfortunately, it did not contain the 7.65 mm shell, and the outside of the envelope listed it as having no value, and it was destroyed. So the author of this destruction of material evidence by the FBI question, did they even bother to take fingerprints off of it, or were they just too big of a rush? So he says, he goes on, one can see from the 7.5 millimeter shell affair how deeply entrenched the lone gunman dogma is it in this juncture. Yet dismiss the evidence if there is only one shooter. But if there is a conspiracy with multiple shooters, then the recovered shell has great implications for it. But they don't think like that. Ironically, the spent cartridge is of the same caliber as the recovered Mauser. With these people, the evidence doesn't seem to matter as much as the carefully constructed narrative. Just like it didn't matter when Gerald Ford moved Kennedy's back wound up to his neck and stated that the lie is a fact to the American people. And what he's alluding to there is Gerald Ford, the only unelected president ever.
Exactly. Wasn't that interesting?
Yes.
That occurred.
And he was a member of the Warren Commission who...
Right.
Who,
reward time.
Who moved the bullet that was lodged in his back about 4 or 5 inches below and just right below the neckline and just to the right of the spinal column. He moved this up. So it said it hit it in the back of his neck and the throat wound in from the front. That was the one that came out the throat and then proceeded to go through Connolly, break his rib, shatter his rib, and go into his left wrist, shatter the second strongest bone in your body, and then lodge in his thigh. And that was the bullet, CE-399, which is the pristine bullet found in Parkland Hospital on the structure.
Exactly. Is that ridiculous?
Yes, and there's even more to it, but that's the summation. You cannot come up with 7 entry and exit wounds, 1 bullet, and it's in pristine condition.
Yeah.
But Ford had to move this up. He was the guy that got it moved up. So, yes, what happens to Ford? He becomes, and by the way, he came in the Congress the same year as Kennedy and Nixon in 1947. And he was, as you well know, he's totally controlled by Jewish influence and CIA.
Sure.
Totally bought man. So you have, and it's interesting when you go into the backgrounds of these people to see who their benefactors are, such as Gerald Ford, and so how he can get away with doing this. And you know, we are bred to, like, we have Memorial Day coming up and everybody's, oh, our brave soldiers and all this kind of stuff. And our brave soldiers for what?
Exactly.
You know, our brave soldiers, these poor dupes. You know, that phrase that Kissinger came up with, dumb, stupid animals that just are pawns in our foreign policy?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. He sort of stated it right up front, didn't he, now?
Yes.
And we had another one
of
his
died. Mass.
And the other horse just died today, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brezhnev.
Mike King did an article, The Truth About Memorial Day. That's very good. People can look that up. It's very good.
I just actually, that was one of the few things I actually took a quick look at it. That's my sentiments exactly because of this whole duping of the dumbed down American.
Yes.
It's just and the patriotism is through the roof. You know,
makes me sick.
It's beyond sickening. It's so blatant and so everywhere that if you call people on it, they'll just jump all over you. And I've seen something even worse. You know, I sit down, I turn on the TV. The only thing I like to watch is tennis, but sometimes I flip through the channels while I'm having, you know, food. And what I've noticed in the last few days, they're getting very smart with their commercials. Like the Geico commercial changed their commercial to the one where they're all supporting the military. All the commercials have. They've gotten very on target.
Very subtle, too.
Oh, yeah, they're subtle, but they're all the commercials, I mean, not all of them, but everyone that these major commercials are now all about military leading up to Memorial Day.
Yes.
It's like, wow, they're getting, it's like the noose is tightening and tightening. But I just love the title. A Mauser is a Mauser is a Maliker Kakano. These things like this, it just, you know, and what I'm about to get into now, I brought up before, but it's very important. Very important. October 3rd, 1963. Arthur Kroc, who was a very close friend of the Kennedy families and with his father, Joe, and Jack, John Kennedy, he published an article in the New York Times, October 3rd, 1963, and it's called The Inter-Administration War on Vietnam. And in it, he says, one reporter in this category is Richard Starnes of the Scripps Howard newspapers. Today, under a Saigon dateline, he related that, in parentheses, according to a high United States source here, twice the CIA flatly refused to carry out the instructions of Ambassador Henry Cabot Lodge, and in one instance frustrated a plan of action Mr. Lodge brought from Washington because the agency disagreed with it, close quote. Among the views attributed to United States officials on the scene, including one describing it as, in parentheses, very high American official who has spent much of his life in the service of democracy, are the following. The CIA's growth was, in quotes, likened to a malignancy, which the very high office was not sure even the White House could control any longer. And in quotes again, if the United States ever experiences an attempt at a coup to overthrow the government, it will come from the CIA and not the Pentagon. The agency represents a tremendous power and a total unaccountability to anyone. And so this is John Kennedy writing this piece through Kroc. And so this is, I can't emphasize this enough. This is, you know, what, 50 days or so before his assassination. He's telling you he knows dead man walking.
Yeah.
And I go on from that. You know, I stumbled upon this. I knew of this from the great book JFK and the Unspeakable, Why He Died and Why It Matters by James W. Douglas, where most of this book is impeccable, except, of course, he doesn't go to where we went and lead it to. But it's still, for all it is. And I wrote him, and he wrote me back just recently. Anyway, he says in this on that there's for at least a decade, JFK's favorite poem had been Rendezvous, a celebration of death. Rendezvous was written by Alan Seeger, an American poet killed in World War I. The poem was Seeger's affirmation of his own anticipated death. And it's a poem, I have a rendezvous with death. And so for a long story short, Kennedy, this was his favorite poem. And he actually said it to Jacqueline on his wedding day back in 1953, his wedding
night. Kind of as a warning, you say?
Well, he said this to his wife on the honeymoon, on the day he's married. Huh?
Right, I think it was a warning to her. You know, yes. You sure you want to go through with this?
Well, she was already through with it, but
yeah.
But he said this so much, and his little girl Caroline picked up on it, and asked her mother, "Mom, I want to know that poem." And the poem is rather lengthy. It's three different stanzas of this poem. I found out the day when she, on the morning of October 5th, President Kennedy met with his National Security Council in the Rose Garden. Carolyn suddenly appeared at his father's side. She said she wanted to tell him something. He tried to divert her attention while the meeting continued. Caroline persisted. The president smiled and turned his full attention to his daughter. He told her to go ahead with the members of the National Security Council and sat and watched. Carolyn looked into her father's eyes and recited the poem.
Wow.
After this poem, which is all about death, and I'm not going to repeat the poem, after Caroline said the poem, the final words, rendezvous, Kennedy's National Security advisors sat in stunned silence. One of them said later, the bond between father and daughter was so deep, it was as if there was an inner music that they were trying to teach each other. So you have, and JFK had heard his own acceptance of death to the lips of his daughter while surrounded by a National Security Council that opposed his breakthrough of peace. The president once again deepened his pledge not only to fail in that rendezvous, if God had a place for him, he believed that he was ready. So this story is just, as you can hear, it brings me to tears.
Sure. Sure. And rightfully so. I know that you're very emotionally attached to this work. And I know that probably as you were going through this, that it brought a lot of emotion to the forefront. And I know that, I know your feelings are very, very deep for this this man, this hero.
And yes, Deanna, it's just, like I said before, I realized I wouldn't be here. And maybe tens of millions or hundreds of millions of others would not be here if it wasn't for him and Khrushchev and that submarine captain who didn't put his key in to launch his nuclear tip torpedoes. Two of the other ones on his ship did.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So it's Go ahead.
Slaughter that has resulted because they executed this man. Look at all the slaughter in the Middle East, and you know, all over the world. Yes. I mean, there was slaughter before that, and certainly he was aware of their infiltration. He was aware of their participation in the slaughter that had preceded his becoming president. I mean, he knew about Vietnam. He went there. He knew what was going on. The U.S. had been involved in Vietnam since 1954 on a very kind of an infiltrating basis. I mean, they kind of took over from the French. They had designs on that, and he knew that, and he was going to stop that as well as stop the Israeli state from doing what they planned on doing.
You know, you have, back to the Israelis, you have now, you know, Mordechai Vanunu came out, Gaddafi came out.
You know,
there's a lot of other people that have come out. I mean, Gaddafi came out at the United Nations. And you know, it just, that said, that they're behind him. And Vanunu, when he got honey trapped in 86 and spent 19 years in jail, 12 in
solitary confinement.
And he, you know, he came out and said 150 to 200 at that time.
Right.
And so I believe they have between 500 and 1,000. And I've said this before on your show, not that I believe that's the case, but I also believe that they have small theatrical grapefruit-sized nukes brought into under diplomatic pouches to every major city on the planet. This is my own theory, but I'm sure it's true. And if anything ever happens, that they will blow one up and blame it on whoever they want to blame it on, and it'll go out and say it was a stolen backpack from when the Soviets fell in 1991, and all the earmarks of the next nuclear detonation was from that, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they can throw off whatever is coming their way. You know, which leads me, but jump back to Gary Powers, the U-2 pilot, okay?
Right.
Eisenhower is about to go meet Khrushchev for a major peace conference. And all of a sudden, right before this happened, Gary Powers' plane, his U-2, gets shot down. Now, there's a lot of things about this. That did they fill his plane up? Why did they put him in this situation? Literally, I believe, with less than 2 weeks before this major meeting between Eisenhower and Khrushchev, and he was shot down on purpose. It had to be. Matter of fact, Senator William Fulbright has come out and more or less said this back in the day.
So,
and you see this all the time with this kind. Matter of fact, you can now foretell this. And when there is about to be anything to do with peace or Israel and peace, you'll see a major like false flag diversion happen before this.
Sure.
And it's like, it's sort of like what happened with the Malaysian airplanes. Yeah? Malaysia came out and said, like, they're a bunch of genocidal blah, blah, blahs to Israel. And they don't let their people go there to Israel, and they don't let Israelis come in unless it's the highest diplomatic clearance. And they, you know, they did 9/11, they said, and all of a sudden you see the Malaysian airliner disappearing.
Right.
And then you see the second one being shot down over the Ukraine, another Malaysian airliner. Well, yeah. you think this is a coincidence, boys and girls? It's not. This is a message that is clear as day.
Right.
Of what is happening and who is doing this. When you say something about Israel, especially as strong as what Malaysia said, I should have came out and said that their birds are going to start falling out of the sky. So let me go back to this. I'll pick this up
okay.
on the other side.
We'll get this in 3 minutes. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Mark R. Elsas. And the websites that you want to visit are November221963.com and JohnFitzgeraldKennedy.net.
And I'm just so lucky that that domain name, that URL, that web address was open and I ascertained it.
Yeah.
Imagine all the people that have written everything and all these strange, weird yes. websites for John Kennedy, but nobody bought the name that he died on. And so this is why I honored this man. And I could go on and on and on about it. Just the more I dig into it, the more unbelievable, amazing things this man did. Like I said earlier about the all of these promises that he actually kept. And him knowing that he's going to die and still did it. I'd like to bring up, which is opposite of what the author Kroc that I just talked about at the October 3rd
right.
New York Times. This one is December 22nd, 1963. And I've mentioned this before, but it's worth it again. This was an op-ed by former President Harry S. Truman, published only in the early edition of the Washington Post. It's called Limit CIA Role to Intelligence. And you see, Ray McGovern wrote two articles about this, which I have linked. And Ray McGovern has a quote. The Washington Post, this is in quotes, the Washington Post published the op-ed on December 22nd, 1963 in its early edition, but immediately excised it from its later editions. Other media ignored it. The long hand of the CIA. And so you have an ex-president more or less implicating the CIA through the back door on Kennedy's assassination exactly 1 month. This is, he picked this day out on purpose. This is all done on purpose by Truman, whatever all his faults were, and there were many. He stepped up to the plate here and tried in his own political way to out who did it. And it is very, very, very telling that not, and it was only picked up in the early edition. By the way, it was on page A11. And only in the early edition Washington Post. I don't think there's any other newspaper that picked this up or media in the United States. It's, by the way, back to his, some other thing, it just hit my consciousness. His great American University speech, which I told everybody, June 10th, 1963, 27 minutes and 5 seconds. Go listen to it. I didn't know. This was broadcast on Soviet radio. Oh. And not only once, this was broadcast numerous times on their radio all across the Soviet Union. Now, this to me is just, it's just amazing. These are our enemies. But yet, Khrushchev knew enough and had enough pull. And by the way, Khrushchev was relieved in a palace coup, huh? The following year.
Oh, yes, it was. Rockefeller went over there and fired him.
Yep, and it was...
Now, how do you fire the head of a country?
Yep, it's... And it was... It's... you know, I bless you once again, Deanna, for the show, and I appreciate it. And happy birthday, John Fitzgerald Kennedy.
Yes, happy birthday. Rest in peace. Thank you so much, Mark. Thank you, listeners. Bye-bye. Till next week.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. at aroutfitting.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.